Welcome back, everybody. I'm Big Al Weekly of 880 KRVN right here in Lexington, Nebraska. And we're also a part of MusicChartsMagazine.com in Nashville, Tennessee. In this next segment, we're going to be talking with Dion Pride. He is the son of country music legend Charlie Pride. We're going to be talking about his singing and his songwriting skills and much more. So stay tuned. Let's go back to the conversation with Dion Pride. We're talking with Dion Pride, and his website is dionpride.com. If you will allow me to, I'd mentioned I have a excerpt of you singing The Star-Spangled Banner, and it was on your birthday at the ballpark. Where were you at when you sang this?
I was at my high school alma mater, Jesuit College Prep in Dallas, and they asked me to come back, and they asked me from time to time to come back and do the national anthem for some of the ball games, the baseball games and football games. I was a four-sport letterman there, and, you know, we off-air were talking about baseball. And yes, I played. I started playing at an early age and was fortunate enough to get offered a scholarship from Arkansas. I was coming out of high school, but I already knew what I wanted to do. So I went to North Texas for music, but that's where I was. I was a Jesuit.
You know, I've never made the connection. I guess I need to sit back and study it a little bit, but we have had so many country music entertainers that have the talented side of baseball, and I think that is so interesting. I'd love to be able to make the connection, what everybody has inside their soul. You've got Roy Acuff, who wanted to be a baseball player. Garth Brooks played some. Dave Dudley, your dad, and you, and there's many others.
Yes. You know, I think it's only natural. I mean, look at it. If you want to, there are a lot of people who feel that basketball and football may have taken over as America's game, so to speak. But, you know, baseball, for a long time, was associated with the core of America's values and playtime. And, you know, I think that that's a natural fit, you know, for country and baseball to be a part of those artists' lives, because, you know, baseball for a long time was the sport in this country. And so it doesn't surprise me.
That's very interesting. Let's get to hearing your voice. Let's take a step back in time on your birthday at the ballpark at your alma mater. Now, the audio is not really good because your voice is so strong, Dion. You was overpowering the speakers. But I just want to give everybody a little sample.
I'm ready.
All right, here is Dion Pride. He's the son of country music legend Charlie Pride. Let's take a listen to his wonderful voice as he sings The Star-Spangled Banner at his alma mater in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Dion, I wanted to give everybody just a little sample of your voice and the power that it has. And what amazes me of the range of your voice. Now, you're singing a deep voice, you're talking in the deep voice, but when we hear a newer song that you recorded, your voice, you're using a pitch higher, or a couple pitches, actually.
Well, you know, I was taught, and let me emphasize this, and that could be because I truly mean it, I was taught by the absolute best in the world to me, and that's my father. He got me at an early age, taught me how to use my diaphragm, explained and went through the nuances of breathing, delivering the note, shaping your consonants. The man is incredible, and he is, to me, just one of the absolute best technical singers that I have ever heard in my life as my father. And, you know, I don't know that he gets enough credit for just how technically sharp and what a delivery he has. And he passed that on to me. And, of course, at an early age, I started, you know, early developing my diaphragm, and that's where I get my power from. And, you know, the diaphragm is, if not the biggest, or it's your second largest muscle in the body. And, you know, those are the kind of things that, for me, as an individual, you look at music and approach it in your own unique fashion. And to me, I've always been fascinated with and wanted to learn the inner workings of every aspect of whatever tools you use for your trade. And, you know, I'll use a guitar, for example. I have done everything with an electric guitar besides changing the frets out of the fretboard. But as far as building guitars and knowing, I've even rewired my own pickups and soldered them together and experimented with different pickup configurations and different woods and things like that for guitar. I just, out of wanting to know the complete flow of from striking the note to the sound. And singing, I pushed it the same way. It's a very technical thing, and I think that may come from my dad and also the classical training. You approach things from a technical standpoint, because if you're technically sound, then you should be sound when you hit the stage. Because everybody's heart who's doing what they're doing, but you know, not everybody is sharp live and are on pitch live. And as you heard with that little stint on the national anthem, you know, pitch has always been something that was stressed very heavily with my father. And I think it's a mark and one of the technical marks of a proficient singer.
Well, what I hear, you know, I've been in the studio, I've recorded with a lot of people, such as Dave Dudley, Leroy Van Dyke, and I've did a lot of bluegrass, and I'm a disc jockey, and I've did production, and the point I'm making here is I've listened very closely to your dad's voice and his singing. I've listened to you, and I think what an audience doesn't realize, and I'm going to kind of maybe let a cat out of the bag, is that, yes, they love the singing, but how you're singing it is actually, I believe, subconscious. It's rising something up in their gut or in their soul that they don't even realize, but I can hear it in my headphones, all the syllables and the expressions in those words, and, of course, I look for that in order to produce a good radio program. But I think that's a subconscious that people don't know they have, and only a few people, handful of people in country music or bluegrass or gospel, have that ability to bring that soul out into a song.
You are touching me right now, because that, you know, you hit it on the head right there. I couldn't have said it better. It's true.
Well, I've always believed that, and I've had a lot of the older entertainers and radio disc jockeys say, you've got to listen. You've got to listen to the structure and what's going on behind the scenes, and I'll pick everything apart before I'll even play it on the air, because if it's not going to bring it out in me, then it's not going to paint that picture and bring that subconscious soul out in everybody else. So thank you for agreeing with me on that.
Yes, well said. You know, and I'll take that further if you don't mind. You know, the way I approach my songwriting, and always have, but it wasn't really I couldn't describe it to myself. I didn't really have to until I heard Stevie Wonder. He was asked, "How do you know if what you're working on?" And let me preface this by saying, you know, you never know when you start working on a song what it's going to do, or what form it's going to take, or how, you know, right, it's going to turn out when you're starting it. But they asked him, when you are composing a song, how do you know that you're on to something, or that it's something that is worth finishing or worth working on? And it was very simple in his answer, and I agreed. And he said, when I compose something that moves me in the way an artist that I admire and respects music moves me, then I feel like I'm onto something. And that's almost a very safe, sure way of knowing that you have something that is going to move people. If you're being moved by your own music the way somebody who you like, another artist that you like's music moves you, you could be pretty safe that there's something there that is universal. It's not, it may have come from you, but after it is out, it takes a life of its own. It takes on a life of its own, and you want to make sure that there is something in there that when you hear it back, you're listening to it, and it translates that feeling that you were trying to convey as you were composing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's exactly right, and I couldn't have said it any better myself. We're talking with the son of country music legend Charlie Pride, Dion Pride, and his website is dionpride.com. He has three albums that have been released, and not only your music, but you have some great cover tunes from other genres that have helped you develop a lot of your original music. And and you've gotten some very, very wonderful and positive write-ups from some of the biggest in country music and other industries.
Yes, sir. You know, one that I'm very proud of is my Music Row article that Robert Orman wrote on We All Gotta Live Here. I was just so honored. I still would love to meet the man. I haven't gotten the pleasure and honor of meeting him. He is such a fixture on the Row. And my release was in between two of James Stroud's artists, and he wasn't particularly fond, and we all know what James Stroud did. He just introduced Tim McGraw to us. And, you know, he had started a new label and had a couple of artists that were charting around the same time I was. And he wasn't so fond of their renditions of the songs that they had in between myself, or above and below myself. And, you know, the review that he gave me, I was so flattered and honored by, you know, from a man that has such experience and wisdom in this industry. That's one that I'm very proud of.
Well, he speaks the truth, and he speaks his mind, and everybody enjoys that. They want to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, all the songs that you've written, I want to mention this one, and maybe you can tell me a little bit about it. We'll listen to a clip of it. You wrote a song that is called I Miss My Home, and your dad, as articulate as he is, he must have really enjoyed that song because he recorded it and put it on his album called Choices in 2011.
Yes.
Let's take a listen to your dad, Charlie Pride. It's about a 30-second clip. Once again, Dion Pride wrote this, and then when we hear this, Dion, I would like for you to tell us a little bit about why you wrote that song.
Sure, sure.
Here is country music legend Charlie Pride to sing his son Dion Pride's song, I Miss My Home.
Me. I hear your voice on the line. Sounds so sweet, I feel like crying. I miss my home. Everything I'm living for is back where I come from.
Oh, I tell you, he has got a super, super voice, and the music behind that, the production, is absolutely awesome. How did you
come? I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm smiling from ear to ear.
Oh, I know you are. I got goosebumps. So why did he pick that song, and Helen, why did you write it? I Miss My Home.
Well, I'm going to speculate on the chain of events here. You know, my mother and I were sitting in Canada, you know, for the last, I guess, 5-6 years, I've been opening up that show. And that's why we're doing this interview now. I just decided to step out on my own, you know. And this was one of the last Canadian tours we did. I had, you know, written a few songs. And my mother, this is a lady that has picked and has a bracelet with all of the records that went number one for my father, but that she picked. A little fact that people know, or, you know, aren't well I guess it's a secret. My mother has had a lot to do with what singles my father put out. There were many times when I was young that I would sit there and think, boy, wouldn't people love to be me and a fly on the wall right now listening to the, I would find out what songs were coming out before anybody knew, you know? And so, I was sitting here, wow, you know, I'm sitting on a gold mine here, you know, I felt like I had the scoop, you know?
Yeah, sell the information.
Not that I would ever take it that far, but it was kind of neat. Yeah. It was kind of neat hearing it. And then, you know, a few months later, well, here it is on the radio, you know? So I prefaced that by, you know, I wanted to bring that up because my mother, I respect her her taste and her evaluation of songs because she has an incredible ear for good songs. And when I played her a series of songs that I had written, that was one that stuck out to her. She goes, I really like this one. And I had no idea. She never told me she was going to play it for my father. In fact, if she had told me she was going to play it for my father, I would have said no, because I would. You know, it was a demo, and I, you know, of course, you know, my father is tough. He is a tough, tough sell. He's a tough critic, and you know, it was a demo version, and so you know, I would have wanted to clean it up before he heard it. And so she never told me she was going to let him hear it. So he comes to me and he goes, listen, I'm going to tell you something, you know, and then the way I cannot, you know, be my father. He's just got his own way, and I love his way. But yeah. He said, I want you to know something. I'm not recording this because you're my son. You know me. He said, the only reason I'm recording this song is because I like it. And so I said, okay, that's good enough for me. But the way it came about was I had been living in Nashville for a little while, and the commute was pretty tough, and there were, you know, at times months would go by before I would see my wife and son. And of course, you know, there's nothing better than life itself to bring out, you know, certain emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that came from. All my family was here in Dallas, and you know, when you are alone and by yourself and on your own, you know, for months at a time, in a place where, you know, you don't know a whole lot of people, you spend a lot of time to yourself, and you quite naturally miss the people that you love
right. The
most. And that's where that came from.
Beautiful song. Your dad does it beautifully. And now I would like to talk about another song as we kind of wrap things up, Dion, which amazed me when I heard this song and I go back and hear your voice, as we'd mentioned previously, with the high range that you have. And by the
right.
way, by the way, everybody, once again, I am very excited to sit here and visit with Dion Pride. He's the son of country music legend Charlie Pride. DionPride.com is where you can go and get more information. You've got music schedules on there, and your three albums are listed, and I want to talk about this new song. We're going to play about a one-minute sample of it, Dion, and it's called Not Alone.
Well, I hope we get to the chorus, because that's the part that really tickles me. So.
Well, actually, it does. I made sure.
All right.
Because I thought, great. I thought that was a great foundation of that song, and without the chorus, the other parts of the song, I believe, probably wouldn't gel with people, so I made sure and got the chorus in here.
Well, you know, I wanted that chorus to relate to, in fact, we have pitched it to veterans, to single mothers, to trauma victims. You know, it's a song that was written with that, with all of those in mind, causes in mind, and of course it was inspired by my wife. But along the way, it took on that theme of universally letting, you know, anybody who feels like they're alone, to let people know that we are a social species and we're not alone. And there are people that are there for you if you reach out. So,
well, it's a great song, and let's take a listen to this sample. Once again, the song is called Not Alone, and here is Dion Pride.
Stone, live the fear you'd be all alone. Your conclusion was love's not real. A spoken letter was left unsealed. Not alone through all your fears. Not alone when you cry tears. Not alone, I'll be right here when you need. And always know that you're not alone.
I tell you, that singing of yours and that instrumentation is absolutely awesome and a beautiful song. Beautiful song.
I appreciate that. You know, Al, I have to say, you know, the bridge, we were talking off air about the construction of a song and mm-hmm. how the music should reflect the spirit of the lyric. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are certain songs that I have noticed in my travels that, you know, the lyric could be very somber, but the music is very upbeat, and mm-hmm. it can take away from the message of the somberness of the song. On the other side of that, you can have a very happy lyric with a somber piece of music, and it will take some of the edge off of the happiness of that lyric. The bridge of that song, to me, is what really binds all of that.
Yes.
That piece of music together, because it's so, you know, you get the modulation going into the last chorus, and it drives that not alone point home, and it's very personal, that bridge, and the music, you know, I broke the rhythm up, and Mark Oliverius and I worked on that together, and it came out better than I would have expected it and wanted it to.
Now, I'll tell you what, let me say this. What you just said makes the whole song not only personal, because there's so many people out there that think they're alone, but it makes it make sense. And so many songs
it
just doesn't make sense anymore.
I agree. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree. And that is the beauty of country music.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that with this transition into a more contemporary style of music, which I like, you know, I hope it doesn't, you know, take away or destroy what made country music what it is, and that's the storytelling, the lyric writing. You know, country music has always told a story and has always had a great lyric to it, and that's, I feel, what the core of country and bluegrass is, when bluegrass is a vocal.
You are embarking on something totally different and making a career for yourself, and at the same time, you're still using the influences that you've had over
the years. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Al, you are so perceptive, you know. I only say that because my last Canadian tour that I did with my dad, you know, the audience that I play for, you know, which is part of why I've been striking out on my own too, is because I'm high energy, and, you know, musically I like the more contemporary styles of the country now. And so, you know, I guess my music is geared more towards a younger demographic than my father's audience. But at the same time, I love that era of music. That's what my core is.
Well, there was a gentleman named Curly Seckler, and he worked with the Foggy Mountain Boys when they recorded Foggy Mountain Breakdown, Les Flatt and Earl Scruggs. And he and I was in a conversation one day, and I asked him, I said, you know, how do you feel about bluegrass going a little bit more contemporary and newgrass? And he looks at me and he says, and this is from a gentleman of tradition, he says, if it was all the same, why would it be interesting? It can't be the same. It has to evolve, to put it in a little bit more of a paraphrase.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm this way with my radio. I am old-fashioned, but I am using the new technology in order to enhance and to advance,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm trying to do. And go ahead. I'm assuming you're trying to do the same thing.
Yes, sir. And the point that you were making with the bluegrass reference, you know, I when I was touring and opening up Dad's show, I would describe to his audience when I came out, I would let them know, listen, before I start my show, I want you to look at me as a hybrid. And, you know, I got a little, some giggles out there, you know, because that's more of a biology or, you know, kind of a species-driven term. But if you use that word for an analogy to music and building your sound or the foundation of what you are, you know, I liked my dad's audience to know that I was rooted in the traditional style of music of country, but yet me being younger and of a younger fan base and you know, of the newer styles of music, I infused that with the traditional base and the traditional foundation that I have. And I think my father's audience really appreciated that, because doing songs like Gene Watson's 14 Karat Mind and Waylon's Only Daddy, along with my original songs and songs that I had cut, it kind of made the audience feel that these pieces of music were all together, you know, and that it was a progression of evolution, so to speak, because here I'm doing, you know, 14 Karat Mind, and they loved my rendition of it, and then I'd go into something like I'd Find You or Not Alone, uh-huh. so to speak, and those were received very well by my father's audience, and I believe it was a lot of it had to do with the fact that they knew that the base of any of these compositions of the newer styles of music that I was presenting to them, the base from that was the traditional style of country music that I was brought up on. And so I felt like that it was important to address the audience that way and address your audience that way, that mm-hmm. I am a hybrid. I'm a hybrid. You know, I view myself that way because I love the contemporary sound of country today. But as I said, I will never lose, and I hope we never lose, the storytelling and the great lyric writing that has always made country what it is.
Well, Dion, you're so well versed in music. You've taken the time in your family, education and the feeling, and you've brought that all together to create a music and a place in music of your own. We've been talking with Dion Pride. He is the son of country music legend Charlie Pride, a great future for country music. And his website, DionPride.com. That's DionPride.com. He's got his three albums. By the way, are you going to be releasing a new album anytime soon?
I'm glad you asked. We are in the middle of working on that right now. It's time. So we, I say we because I love collaborating. I am in an industry where the beauty of it is the more, you know, when they, what is the saying? Two heads are better than one.
Yeah.
On music.
Yeah.
That is so true, because, you know, it's nice. Like Not Alone was written solo by me. Mm-hmm. Take You Higher, which is a song, like a Southern rock tune that I've written that I really love, that song was solo written. But there is a team that, you know, I've always said to you that individual accolades for me have never meant as much as the team accolades that I ever got. And I happen to be part of a couple of championship teams in sports. And those memories always stick out more than the individual accolades, because when you do something with a team, and, you know, I have that mindset with my dad's band, you know, because I always like to let them play solos and things during my songs, and we like to stretch out the songs and, you know, give the people a show. I think that's part of giving people
yeah.
a show. You know, they could go listen to the record, right, if they want to hear the record, right?
Yeah,
it's just
right.
exactly how it is. So I would always, you know, tell my dad's band, all right, we're here, you know, when the solo comes, you take a solo. And I got one of the biggest compliments from my dad's steel player, Ronnie Miller. He said, you know, you're a lot like a Vince Gill or somebody like that. You know, I don't consider myself like a star. I consider myself the singer, and I'm part of the band, but it's a unit. And, you know, I that's the approach that I have on music and songwriting, you know, too, is that when you get another talented person, like Dale Morse Jr., for instance, is somebody that I brag about a lot. He's Ray Price's fiddle player. We started on a song recently, and I'm very happy with the way it's progressing. But, you know, there's things that come out when you write with somebody else that you probably necessarily would not do if you were on your own. And that's the beauty of songwriting with other people and collaborating. So, yes, we've got new material on the way, and it should be here soon. But you know how works of art go. Yeah. It's hard to put a definitive time frame on it.
Well, we'll keep in touch, Dion, and then when we find out, we'll try to do our best to spread the word. But I do want to make one comment about you. After looking at your videos, after listening to your singing, talking with you, I have found and summed up one thing that, and you basically mentioned it, but I want to take it a little bit further. You know, you said you were one unit with the band, and you guys play off each other. But one important thing I found about you, just in our conversation, is that you allow the audience and the people that come to see you, you allow them into that world, and that's what makes them feel so good. You take them out of their world, because I've watched your videos and I've watched your playing, and you suck me right into it. And that's one of the most important things of not only great music and entertainment, is to be able to bring those people on stage with you without them even knowing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you, again, hit the nail on the head. It is about that. That reciprocation, and you know, it is it's so mutual. And when you are performing in front of an audience, you want it to be like we're all in a living room setting or something, and that it's you just are with a bunch of friends, and you're all sharing in this experience. And yes, that's what I'm trying to do. And that's what I think music is about. I you know, have had a saying for a while that I believe that's true. And where there's fellowship, there's music. And where there's music, there's fellowship. And I believe that music is all about fellowship.
Well, Dion Pride, it has been an absolute pleasure to sit down and visit with you. And I'm sure that everybody...
For me as well.
Well, everybody will be more than glad to support you and your music, and we look forward to talking with you again. Let's all remember that his website is dionpride.com, and it also tells of his schedules coming up around the country. Dion, real quick, I'm going to give you the last word if there's anything that you would like to tell our audience.
I would like to tell our audience, listen to Big Al on KRVN 880 Rural Radio. And thank you so much for your time, and thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor, and I appreciate the support. And it's nice to speak with somebody who is so knowledgeable about the industry. And I have enjoyed this conversation thoroughly, and I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Well, bless your heart, Dion, and I look forward to meeting you as well. Once again, we've been visiting with Dion Pride. He is the son of country music legend Charlie Pride. His website is dionpride.com. For KRVN 880 and MusicChartsMagazine.com, I'm Big Al Weekly.